Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
Hello.
Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And we'd like to invite you to talk about the society that we live in, about our life here and now in the Israeli society. We'd like to learn from Dr. Lightman, how can we build a new life that we will all enjoy with our families, with our children, with our relatives, with our friends? We want to make our life perfect. And Dr. Lightman, you're teaching us that the way to this perfect life has a very specific determined form according to which we can build a society that will function truly as one big family. And the vision of building here in Israel a society that will work as one big family, this is the direction of our talk, and we'd like to learn and better understand how can we make this vision come true. So this is why we're here, in order to learn how to upgrade our life. And today we'd like to take from the ancient Jewish culture one of its main symbols based on which our nation was established, and see how can it help us realize the vision of becoming one family. Nitza, please. So undoubtedly, we can all agree that the state of Mount Sinai was a very essential, groundbreaking event that created the identity of the people of Israel, and to this day, it's a part of the very solid foundation on which the Israeli society was built on. So today we'd like to talk about the state of Mount Sinai to understand why was it so meaningful and why did it influence our identity so much to this day. Our people actually came from the immigrants of ancient Babylon, where according to our tradition, according to what it says in the Torah, Abraham gathered those Babylonians that agreed with his vision to build a people which is entirely in love another as thyself, in the quality of mercy, chesed in Hebrew, because Abraham's quality is chesed, mercy. This is actually what he taught back there in ancient Babylon. And according to what Rambam says, we have to understand the historical distance. Abraham lived 3,800 years ago, and Rambam, he lived in the 11th century, which is the beginning of the Middle Ages. So Rambam wrote about Abraham, and he says that Abraham left Babylon with about 5,000 people, and he taught them different laws as to how to connect and build a society where everyone will feel as a family. We're all a family. We're all brothers. Love of Israel. In us, in our essence, there is love another as thyself, to be all as one man and one heart. All this exists in our foundation. And when this nation, let's not call it a nation, but this group of people, tribe, later, because they grew, they divided into 12 tribes as they came out of Egypt. They went through a certain event. We won't specifically go into this event, but its essence is again, the strengthening of that same direction, that same basis of that society, that you, from this point and on, have to grow stronger in becoming as one man and one heart. Meaning the emphasis is on the structure of society as one family. We're all one family, we're all brothers, and we're connected through mutual guarantee. And every time you have to strengthen your connection above all the different events that you go through. You look at every event occurrence not as a disturbance that disperses us in all directions, but as an opportunity to further connect above the disturbance. This is the Torah. This principle is the Torah. Meaning, whatever comes my way and wants to distance me from others, on the contrary, I accept it as helpmate against him, and above that, I strengthen my connection with others. And then, the against him becomes the help. And this is how we advance towards a tighter and tighter connection between us, where the family goes through plenty of events and tests and only grows stronger as a result and unites until they become as one man and one heart. This is actually the essence of the nation. And this basis, it exists in us, whether we like it or not. And we can't get rid of it, even though that we disperse all over the world. And if we forget about that basis, then all the dogs come to our flock and they pressure us so that as a result of their pressure, just like sheep, we'll unite, but no longer through love or because we have this inner need to be a nation, a people, but through external hatred. And therefore we exist to this day according to that same rule. From time to time, we strengthen our connection. Sometimes, the external blows force us to strengthen our connection and overcome when we forget that we ourselves have to do this. And that's how it is to this day. This is how we exist to this day. This method isn't a secret. It's well known to everyone that this is who we are. Somehow, more or less, it was always felt that Jews help each other. This is why in the past we used to be advanced in different sciences, international connections, because we were dispersed all over the world, and so anywhere you can meet people from your nation. And this is how we use our inner connection also for the sake of our ordinary life. And this is how it was until about a few dozens of years before we started coming back to Zion. And when we started coming back, at first, also, there was a relatively good attitude, relatively. Not the way we expect it to be after 2,000 years of exile. Different struggles started, differences in opinion to do this or do that, until it really reached the point of hatred, problems like with the Antalena and other problems, until the different parties were established. Were it to happen in any other nation, it's not that bad because at their core essence, they don't have the demand to be as one people. All the other nations were founded on a natural approach. That they lived in one place, and then they connected. They started getting married, connecting, as a result of the environment, nature, different conditions. And so they started becoming similar, and this is how nations were formed. We, at our core essence, there is the condition of connecting above the ego. It's not a natural connection like the one that exists among the people of one village or one area. We don't have an urge to connect with one another, some kind of a mutual connection or commitment. It exists more as a result of the feeling of hatred towards us. Because I feel myself like other Jews in the world that feel that they're hated and that they're pressured. So it's not a connection that comes from the good, but from the bad. And were it not for this pressure on us, we'd feel no connection with one another. We're a special nation. Because we have to build our nation artificially. That we have to start connecting from scratch. And when we start connecting, we start feeling rejection towards one another. And above that rejection, we have to continue connecting. And therefore, Mount Sinai, in Hebrew, Har Sinai, is a mountain of hatred, the revelation of evil, mutual rejection and hatred. And above that, we have to take upon ourselves the requirement of connection, love another as thyself, to be as one man and one heart, in mutual guarantee, mutual interdependence, don't do to others what you hate, all of Israel are friends, and so on and so forth. Meaning, we're not an ordinary people. And therefore, from nature, but this is how it's rooted in nature. Nature prepared all the other nations to hate us if we don't connect. If we do connect, then the hatred lessens and calms down. Meaning, that from nature, this people, and we can't do anything about it ourselves. We exist for thousands of years, and it's a phenomenon that no one knows how to solve or explain. We exist, and our existence is actually an artificial one. And therefore, everyone looks at us as a strange natural phenomenon. What is actually special about us? What's unique about us? And it's actually our ability to be united. And we can talk about this a lot, but this is actually the essence of the matter.
Well,
let's continue with your questions. So, you first of all mentioned that there was Abraham's method that spoke of love another as thyself, but still, as you put it, we were a group of people. What happened during that event of Mount Sinai that turned us from a group of people into a people, into a nation? We went through a few hundreds of years, almost 1,000 years. There was the 400 years of the Egyptian exile, even though that it was 210. There are different calculations in this respect. We don't determine it exactly by the years. But hundreds of years went by since the times of Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, then Joseph, in Egypt, the Egyptian exile, and coming out of Egypt. During these years, this group constantly worked on the principle of being connected, of being united. And they succeeded, despite everything. And there were many disturbances, obstacles. They succeeded in connecting ever more strongly because each disturbance shows where the corruption in the connection is, and everyone jumped on that corruption and corrected it. So at first people followed just one line towards connection, like with Abraham. Later on, they followed two lines, chesed, mercy, and din, judgments. This is Isaac's approach. And then the third line. All of these are lines towards connection, how to connect, in what tendency. So Jacob's tendency, he's called special, the senior of fathers. Yeah. His approach is that we have mercy, meaning we're obligated to advance our connection. We're obligated to develop the quality of bestowal and love and mercy towards one another. When we start working at it, I try to forcefully derive from myself an extended feeling of connection towards everyone. And suddenly I start feeling that I don't want. I start feeling the evil force that's awakening, the rejecting force. The force of criticism against everyone. That's the left line. That's called judgment. Din? Yes. Isaac, yeah. And then the judgment and the mercy together. I understand that this is how it has to be, that, as it says, the Creator has created them one against the other. And now I'm going to connect both of them, meaning both the judgment and the mercy, I need both of them in order to build love above them. This is called love will cover for all crimes. What are the crimes? That I don't want to connect. At first, I tried being good to you. Then I found out that I can't. As a result of my good attitude, the evil was revealed. And now, above this evil, I'm connecting with you despite the evil nonetheless. I feel it, I understand it, and this is called the middle line, Jacob, Yaakov. And this way, they succeeded in connecting and overcoming, in advancing in building the nation. But when they were in the Egyptian exile, they felt the Egyptian exile internally, mentally, in their connection. They felt that they are about to be corrupted in a way that will be uncontrollable. They started hating each other. They couldn't connect with one another. And this means that Pharaoh controlled them spiritually wise, that he wanted to corrupt them and to distance them from one another. They started falling apart. And were they not to feel Pharaoh's pressure threatening them, they wouldn't stay. Therefore, it says that Pharaoh brought the people of Israel closer to our Father in the heavens, meaning they felt how their separation brings their death, and they had an opportunity to run away. It's like a kind of Hitler, but it was possible to escape him. And they did.
They ran away.
But the hatred they felt towards one another, the feeling of rejection, of remoteness, criticism, disrespect, disregard, remained. This means that they brought kilim, vessels, out of Egypt. They took property out of Egypt. The ego that's among them. Why? Very simple. If now, above this ego that was revealed, this great big ego called Mount Sinai, if now, above this ego, above this hatred, in the past there was no hatred. There were, you know, little disputes. They felt a bit remote from one another, insignificant things. But now it's hatred. And if now they will be able to overcome it and connect, like Abraham said, and Isaac and Jacob, but now, under these conditions, like they have now, so in these conditions, they have to keep the conditions of Mount Sinai. Do you agree to be as one man and one heart? Meaning to feel that there is no difference between you. That you're really like water drops collected in one cup. No difference between the drops. It's all one liquid. Are you willing to be in arvut, in mutual guarantee? Mutual guarantee is where I have nothing for myself, but I care for everyone. So much so that I don't want for them to care about themselves at all. I only want to care for them. My only concern is to have the ability to care for them. That all of us are friends, all of Israel are friends. What does it mean, friends? I feel that we're all equal, and really, among our people, equality is some natural inclination, where no one considers the others as great, not even in the army, nowhere. We're not a people of masters and servants. Everyone's equal, and it comes from that very foundation. And we all have to reach the two principal conditions. The first being, don't do to others what you hate, meaning to be really careful, even in thought, not to harm others. First of all, measure it on yourself, like you measure a shirt. First of all, check it out on yourself, whether you'd like someone to think or, furthermore, do something like that to you. So, after you've examined it, after this examination, you're allowed to exert this attitude towards others. Were you to enjoy for sure others treating you that way? This is one thing. And the other thing is that after you meet this condition of don't do to others what you hate, the more advanced rule or condition that stems from it is love another as thyself. That you accept everything that the other wants and you're there to fulfill everything he needs devotedly, and this is the sole reason for which you want to exist. These conditions, they seem completely unrealistic, obviously, because man's nature, and today in the 21st century, we already understand what it is. 3,000 years went by since then. But these conditions regarding our people didn't change. 3,800 years since Abraham revealed them to that group of his, and about 3,000 years since that state. And we have no choice but to examine that today too we're under the same rules, and this is how nature treats us and judges us in accordance with the observance of these conditions. And to this day, where we have reached a state, as it says in the book of Zohar, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, says there that not only we, but eventually the time will come after the 2,000 years of exile that the entire world will have to receive this principle from us, where we are merely a small group from Babylon, and humanity is the rest of Babylon, and we'll have to go back and teach them like Abraham used to teach. We'll have to teach all of humanity this rule. And humanity will want to accept it because it will feel itself in a great crisis, helplessness, at a dead end. In this event, we see that there was a group of people, meaning it's not that something happened between the upper force and an individual person, but we see an event that an entire nation is participating in. And all throughout history, we see that this is something that's typical only of our people. All throughout history, there was no other such event where an entire people, nation, experiences a certain event that changes them together, turns them into something else. So, what is there about it? Suitability with nature. We learn about the laws of nature through our sciences. We can reveal them, use them, and they're equal for all. And there is a special rule in nature, the law of bestowal and love, that part of the people have to keep. And later on, through them, it has to spread to the rest of humanity. And therefore, that group of people that are capable of keeping it, this is how they disconnected from Babylon. And throughout history, there were many people that joined us to keep this condition. They looked for this condition. They were ready to come, and they did come. Rabbi Akiva, son of proselytes, yeah, and other people too. So we have to see it as a general tendency. And it's impossible to keep this law in the entire world all at once. But it can come through a certain group that lives on Earth in the same conditions like everyone else does. And keeps this law in life and studies it and implements it, realizes it until it shall become a role model. And also each of the members of this group will be as a teacher, as a guide, as an educator, and then this entire group, as it says about them, and you shall be on to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, they leave their borders and they start bestowing and teaching all of humanity how to keep that final law of nature called love, bestow onto others, connection, and so on. All this when the time will come when all of humanity will feel the need to keep this law. So simply, there are people that are ripening in that direction of keeping this law, not in the direction of sciences, music, art, something, not at all. But there is simply more sensitive towards the relations between them. And this prepares them to keep, to try and keep this condition. And throughout history, we see that here and there, some people join them. We see that sometimes even entire nations join them. But all in all of humanity has to go through a big crisis along with the people of Israel. The people of Israel went through the 2,000 years of exile, and in the meantime, the whole of humanity is advancing. We, throughout these 2,000 years of exile, as if are deteriorating in our relations towards each other, and the rest of humanity is ascending and growing stronger and connecting in a normal, instinctive, earthly way. And somehow, after 2,000 years of exile, we meet. And here we reach a state where both we have to awaken towards realizing our previous foundation and also in order to realize this law together with them. There's a well-known excerpt about the state of Mount Sinai that goes, and Israel camped against the mountain, and Rashi says, why does the Torah speak in singular language? Because they were as one man in one heart. And also there's the matter of we shall do and we shall hear, that everyone had to say together, we shall do and we shall hear, meaning everyone has to reach a covenant together with the upper force and mutual guarantee. Now I want to understand, how is that possible? Even before, how is that possible? I just want to understand what is it all about, and if possible, emotionally wise. Meaning, there are people here that are demanded to connect in some way between them, in a way that will make them feel as one man in one heart. And Israel camped against the mountain as one man in one heart, meaning there is a special interaction between them called as one man in one heart. Yeah. And it is the condition for the creation of the state of Mount Sinai. Yeah. And then what happens when they become as one man in one heart? They as if marked V on some kind of a prerequisition demanded in order to reach the state of Mount Sinai. And then what happens? There's the revelation of the upper force. What is that? Did you ever come to one of our congresses? Yes, but I'm not sure our viewers did. So show them. It's better if we talk about something that everyone understands. People are excited as a result of their mutual connection. The state of Mount Sinai, it can happen in, how do you call that, hall where we usually have our congresses? And the exhibition gardens in Tel Aviv on our congresses. Okay, so there was a big gathering there. Yeah, I don't have to go to Sinai and stand on some mountain. Also, it's not a mountain. It's not something high. It's a hill. Yeah, a hill. Inner excitement that comes to people as a result of their connection, because they're connected under a leader, Moses, that awakens them. And they feel some kind of an awakening. Before that, they also felt a kind of an awakening that they're coming out of their ego, escaping from Egypt, that they're going to connect. They felt this tendency before, too. They weren't just some herd. This is how they wanted to live. Don't look at the geography. Egypt, Mount Sinai, we're in the same place all the time. Suppose in that hall in the exhibition gardens or in some other place. And then we go through different inner occurrences. And we warm up, we connect more and more, we feel each other. How much we can then feel the elation and development and disconnection from everything that goes on here. From the hatred, the rejection, the criticism, the individualism. And then we reach a state where we are ready for the time being, not forever, but for now, for a short period of time. This is why it's a state where we are willing to disconnect from our ego. The moment we feel that way, we're as if flying in the air. We as if don't feel ourselves. We feel everyone together. And this feeling is like a kind of revelation of the Creator. What is the Creator? It's the mutual quality of bestowal. And then we feel that this is what fulfills us. Now, we decided that this is how we want to be. Were you to ask our audience, and really we asked during the Congress, do you want, yeah, you remember, right? Thousands of people answering together. 7,000-8,000 people together shouting that they agree. And it's not theater. This is how they feel together. Now, the only question is, when they feel this way together, how are they different? And they are different from those yelling on some parade or some other kind of gathering. Yeah, we're ready, and so on. The Nazis, they also yell together this way. But what comes afterwards? Afterwards, the teacher has to teach them a method of how to really reach that. This agreement is just a general excitement, collective excitement. How to reach what? Love? All of the Torah is love another as thyself. There's no other Torah. There's no other action but towards love. In every one of us, there are 613 desires. They're all egoistic. All the desires are only in order to exploit everyone else for my own well-being, for my own benefit. And I have to change all of my desires for the benefit of others, to invert the way I use each and every one of these desires. This means to observe a mitzvah. This means that I correct myself, changing every desire from benefiting myself at the expense of others to benefiting others by serving them myself. That's it. So, when they start coming closer to that, thinking about that, accepting it, already starts a problem. What to do about the golden calf? What about our ego? Suddenly the ego awakens in everyone, and we as if build the golden calf. What does it mean that we build the golden calf? We want for us to feel good, to enjoy. We want to love each other. Yes, we understand that it's good. But so that our ego will enjoy as a result. so everyone will feel good as a result. That's a kind of a communistic Soviet approach, like in Russia. We're building a society where everyone's connected, we're one for all and all for one, all as brothers and so on. Why? In order to reach a good, simple, corporeal life, for us to feel good. And then, by that, we'll also show everyone how successful we are in a very explicit, egoistic way. Like they wanted to show the entire world how smart and great and right they are. This is the example. The Nazis did it differently. They did the same, but differently. We'll connect and show everyone. It's very similar. There's barely any difference. This means that the golden calf is revealed, that all of our connection is in order to fulfill our ego. And this is against the way nature develops. Because fulfilling our ego means to be more animalistic, to remain on the animate level. We went through different developmental phases. We came down from the trees, where we were like monkeys, thousands of years of evolution to this day. And the degree that we have to reach now is the speaking level, the human level. This degree is that my animate degree receives what it needs, meaning rational things that my body needs in order to exist in a convenient, good way, not to suffer. The correct sign, the correct approach is that it's not suffering, that it's like a healthy body. It's like the doctor gives you a checkup, he measures different parameters, he listens with his stethoscope and says your heart's fine, your blood pressure's fine, pulse, everything. Meaning the body exists like any other animal, like a dog, like a lion, like an elephant. It feels good, and it's not chasing what it doesn't deserve, meaning on a good animalistic level, like a dog in its doghouse, or a pig in its pig stall, and everyone has what it needs. Also, we need an apartment, a family, different things to have at home, food, education for the children, healthcare, pension, and so on and so forth. In short, this is something that we don't compromise on or talk about. Meaning, life in this world has to be arranged this way. This is our animate degree, because we wouldn't have been concerned with it were we not living in our body. Now, the next stage that humanity is crossing into, it's a stage where all of it has to connect. And in that, we reach the image of man. What do we achieve as a result of our connection? Our connection isn't about physically hugging each other or living together in the same apartment or eating tens of thousands of people together in one restaurant, or wearing the same uniform, or something. No. Our connection is emotional. That we feel that we belong to one spiritual field, one mutual feeling, one system that connects us. This connection doesn't belong to the body. It's even eternal. When I start connecting with everyone this way, I stop feeling myself, as if let go of my body and I'm above it. And I connect with others, and I understand that this connection is in some kind of a virtual field between us that's unrelated to the body. that whether I live in my body or my body is dead, it doesn't matter. I exist in this connection. It's truly eternal. It's a kind of an entire eternal system where we're all interconnected and we have to only participate in it. And the truth is that this system constantly exists between us. Only now we're demanded, required to integrate in it intellectually, emotionally, understanding it, attaining it, so we won't only integrate in it, but that we'll study this system, our general connection, and so that the system will be a new degree of life for us, called Adam, man. In this eternal system of our connections, that's called to reveal the upper force. This is what they felt in that special state of Mount Sinai. This is what they revealed in the system. They heard about it. They didn't actually reveal it in practice, but they heard about it. They got a kind of an awakening towards it. Because Moses spoke unto them, they got an awakening, the kind that you get on our congresses, that you're willing to stay this way forever, that besides this feeling, you don't need anything else, just to remain in that. That's the awakening, the emotional awakening that they did not deserve. But they awaken. If I wouldn't have had arranged this congress for you, I don't think that you'd reach this. There's the matter of the teacher that arranges these things, but he also afterwards teaches, after he awakens the students, he teaches them how to attain this thing on their own, for them to control it, to be in it, to live in it, and also to teach others. This is the continuity of generations. So going back to the connection between people that you call the golden calf, suppose like it was in communism or Nazism, and the connection they had during the state of Mount Sinai. So you wanted to teach us what not to do. So I understand that there's a connection where people connect for corporeal purposes, for the same degree on which they are. And that's called the golden calf. Yes. To remain on the animate degree in order to benefit it. And there is a more qualitative connection between people where as a result of their connection they rise to the speaking degree. And the essence of this is that they're together connected internally in mutual bestowal in order to live on the degree of mutuality that's unrelated to the body, unrelated to coercing people, fighting someone, suppressing someone, but only to love. Love is the difference. And not individual protectionist love, but world love. This love, which is the difference, how is it related to the upper force that's revealed during the state of Mount Sinai? It's the inner force that's revealed in a person. What is the upper force? Upper, meaning that it's upper to how it was before. Previously, I had a good, nice, pleasant feeling if I'd fill my belly with meat and fish and beer. And now what I feel comes from the fulfillment of the soul, meaning above time, space, motion, a feeling that's outside of me, a feeling that gives me some kind of a sign of eternity, meaning that even if I don't exist in my body, I suddenly come out and live in others. That's called the upper force, the upper feeling, the upper world. So this is what they tasted during the state of Mount Sinai after they connected as one man and one heart and became one. Yeah. So when people become as one, if they do it in order to transcend so that everyone will come out of themselves for the benefit of others and everyone lives for the benefit of others. This is how they feel. And then it means that among them dwells the general force of love, yes, which is the general force that's called the one force, God. I wouldn't say God, you said God, but it's really so. with the comprehensive, so to speak. That's how it is in Gematria, where there is a sum total of people that connect, and there is a result of the power of their connection. There is a mutual connection between them with the comprehensive. What we're talking about today, it's not exactly the same, but it's kind of like the wisdom of the crowds. You have 10 maybe not so smart people, but when they start talking together and connecting and talking, they reveal something smarter than anyone else can find on their own. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah,
and this is what he calls God. Okay, so if we're talking about the wisdom of the crowds, and this is what propels our talk, I'd like to connect the connection between people with the vision that you're offering the Israeli people. You're saying that the good future, the good fortune of the Israeli people depends just on one thing: for us to want to build a society where everyone's like one family. How? What you taught us today about the interaction, the special connection between people, what we call the state of Mount Sinai versus the golden calf, which is the incorrect connection between people, what does it have to do with the vision that we want to realize in the Israeli society here and now? We're in special times, a general crisis where the world is furious, asking, crying, like a baby, because it doesn't have the brain. It just feels that it's about to deteriorate, that it's facing danger, natural disasters, hunger, plagues, blows like nuclear wars, that people talk about freely as if it's something that will happen for sure. The leaders can't do anything. They have no plans. There's no one that stands up and says, "I know." Today, you don't have that. It's a wonder. You always had a few such people in the world that each of them said, "Communism, no, capitalism, no like this, no like that." Today, no one has any kind of vision in their hands. And different Nazi regimes are starting to form. Protectionism, meaning that everyone wants to build themselves on the ruins of everyone else, meaning against the direction of the connection and unity that nature is preparing for mankind to be as one family. And in this time, we have to be light onto the nations. We have to really quickly truly become as one family, to determine laws of one family, where we help each other. The love of Israel, love of friends, all as one man and one heart, all of Israel are brothers, and so on and so forth, up to the point of don't do to another what you hate, and love another as thyself, and to teach these laws to all of humanity, and to show them how it already exists among us, and that thanks to keeping these laws, we're in a completely different state than the rest of the world. Because once we start coming closer to each other according to these laws, and just starting to build the so-called one family, you suddenly feel that you have no enemies. The whole world calms down as if forgets about you. Afterwards, according to the extent to which you succeed in connecting, the entire world becomes friendly towards you. Suddenly, they want to be in trade with you. And help, and tourists are coming, and as if they themselves don't know why, but suddenly they're no longer anti-Semitic, suddenly they treat you nicely, in a good way. According to their response, you feel that they treat you like everyone else, as if this special attitude towards you disappeared, and afterwards even more, they start to respect you and even love you. We'll come to learn from you how beautiful things are here. Teach us too. Really, very naturally, you feel that this is how it happens, to the extent to which you keep these laws on the inside, internally. What do they feel? They don't feel that their attitude changed. It's that natural. I'm talking even unconsciously. Unconsciously. They're drawn like bees to nectar. They feel that something good's going on here.
Yeah?
So if people or nations aren't aware of what's drawing them, then what is it? It's the upper force that exists in the correct network of connections between people? Yes, but in the meantime, the way they see it is that you're coming out of the crisis, that you're successful in construction, economy, different things that in the meantime are normal on their material degree, because they're in a very serious crisis. And suddenly they feel that, yeah, we can learn from the Jews, see how successful they are, but they no longer think about it in terms of envy. But it's a good kind of envy, constructive envy. If we build the Israeli society as one family, and once again we'll become as one man and one heart, truly, will this actually connect our hearts with the strongest force in nature you call love? This is what's going to push us forward? Of course. Because then we will receive the force of nature, the general force of nature, which is the infrastructure of all of creation. There's no stronger or general force that controls everything than the essence of love, the mutual connection between all the parts of the system of reality. All the parts of the general system of all of reality are connected according to the rule, according to the law called love, mutual integration, incorporation. And this is precisely what you're keeping. So you're at its foundation, at its infrastructure. You're in equivalence of form. You're identifying with the whole of nature. And that's called dvikut, adhesion. Because adhesion in gematria equals nature. If I understand what you're saying nowadays, everything is about the relations between people. Now, it's not that pleasant to admit, maybe, but if we look at society nowadays, and society, I mean, including myself too, the relations there aren't that great. You can even find quite some hatred there. You said Mount Sinai is hatred. We're almost there. I'll tell you furthermore, just to complete the question, because today there's hatred and rejection. Can we reach love from this place? Because things seem the very opposite. We're talking about love and connection, and what we see today is more separation, rejection, and so on. For this purpose, we have received permission to enter the land of Israel, this place, to build a country here, to build a people, however we do it, doesn't matter, in order to build the infrastructure, the foundation from which we have to rise to the condition of being the real people of Israel, the way we were, the way we're supposed to be according to our inner nature, in the land of Israel, meaning the place that's destined for the returnal of the people of Israel. We have to realize these things. If we don't, then we won't have the ability to continue here. In the meantime, we have an opportunity, and from what I see, we have to realize it. The entire world is demanding it, and all those that are now arguing with us, that are fighting us, it's only in order to push us to the implementation of love another as thyself among our people. Our time's up. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.